To speak this morning on God's blueprint for blessing. God's blueprint for blessing. I am not a builder. I am not successful in building. I owned a home improvement business, but I never hammered in one nail. But I have learned in life it's important to follow instructions. I follow a GPS when I drive. I follow my wife's instructions. Well, by the way, Susan, stand up if you will. This is my wife, and we've been married for 38 years. We celebrated our 38th anniversary 4 weeks ago today. She asked me, of course, to take her out for a nice meal, one of those fancy places where they cook in front of you and have the big knives, and I took her to Subway. And I'm thankful for her, the mother of our three children, and a great influence in my life and a great help to me, my completer. But a number of years ago, we decided to get a ping pong table. We had a kid at the college where I was teaching. This is over 30 years ago, who was the state champion for five states. His dad was a millionaire. He hired a guy from China to live in their home, paid him $50,000 just to teach his son ping pong. He wanted him to go to the Olympics. He did not go, but he was really, really good. I said, this guy can teach me how to play ping pong. So I went to a very fancy store called Sears and bought a ping pong table. Brought it home. Now, a ping pong table, folks, doesn't have a lot of moving parts. So I took those instructions, I threw them over my shoulder, I began to screw things together. About 2 hours later, I was bleeding from both hands, and the table looked like it had been put together by someone with epilepsy. It didn't look good. And I was reminded again, follow the instructions. Follow the blueprint. And I'm going to share with you from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, God's blueprint for blessing. Let's read these verses, please. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In many ways, Psalm 1 is the explanation of all the Psalms. And I love the word that it starts out with, blessed. So let's ask the Lord to show us how we too can be blessed today. Let's pray this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being here with Pastor Turner at the Anchor Baptist Church. And I pray that what we share here these next minutes will be a help and a blessing and an encouragement. I pray that we will have a desire to live a blessed life, but we will do that which is required to have a blessed life. I do pray you'll bless this church. I pray you will use it to be a lighthouse here in this town, to make a difference in the lives of others. I pray for those here that know you as your Savior, that they will strive to be a little bit closer to being the Christian you saved them to be. And Lord, if there's someone here who does not know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray that they will settle that today, because you are not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to give you three simple truths this morning, and I hope you remember them, maybe jot them down in your Bible. The first thing we see here in this passage is the companions that the blessed man shuns. There's some people you need to stay away from. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. It's very simple. It's one or the other. And the Bible says in verse number one here, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I believe we have a world today that is bereft and missing wisdom. God gives us four ways to get wisdom. Number one, we pray to ask God for it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Secondly, we get in the Word of God. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Thirdly, we hang around wise people. You hang around wise people. By the way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fourthly, if we want wisdom, we learn from the reproofs of life. But we find out right away here in verse number one that there are some companions that we should shun. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. God divides the world up into the saints and the ain'ts. You're either Christian or you're not a Christian. Your friends ought to be Christians. We ought to be friendly to the unsaved, but they shouldn't be our friends. Because nearness always equals likeness. It always works that way. It always works that way. So, We see, first of all, the counsel. This is the sensual wisdom of the world. Don't get your counsel from Oprah. She doesn't know Jesus. Don't get your counsel from Dr. Phil, or for that matter, from Joel Osteen. Get it from the Word of God and people who respect and revere the Word of God. So the Bible says here, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on and says this, not, very interesting, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I've heard a name in the last few days that I haven't heard for several years. If you're a baseball fan, you'll know this name. The name is Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton was the number one pick of the Major League Baseball draft. He was what was called a five-tool player. I believe he could have possibly been one of the top five baseball players who ever lived. And when he played, he was outstanding. He won the Silver Slugger Award 3 times. He was the American League Most Valuable Player 1 year. I don't know the year. 1 year, he was in the home run contest at Yankee Stadium. And the first 2 rounds, he hit 28 home runs out of the park. But a problem happened in his life. He got hurt. And he started hanging around a tattoo parlor where he not only got 16 tattoos, he was introduced to drugs. I literally heard on SportsCenter about 1 week ago, a guy hit a ball 500 feet, longest home run in the StatCast era. They said it sounded like the ball coming off the bat of Josh Hamilton. I'd kind of forgotten about him because drugs ruined his life. And it all started when he stood in the way of sinners. Be careful who your friends are. He that walketh wise but should be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. But then it goes on and says this, not in the seat of the scornful. We know what the county seat is, or the seat of government. But there are certain places where people sit around and talk a certain way. Be careful. Be careful. Do their words honor the Lord? You hang around the wrong seat, you'll start saying the wrong things. Ask Peter about that. He said, I know not the man. The God of the universe, his Savior, who he'd worked with and served with and lived with for 3 years, he denied even knowing him because he was sitting in the seat of the scornful. So if you want to be a blessed person today, I challenge you, number one, be aware of the companions that you need to shun. But secondly, this afternoon, let's look at the communion the blessed man seeks. The communion the blessed man seeks. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you meditate on the Word of God? I'll give you a simple tool that I try to use. It's maybe too simple for some, but we're supposed to think about the Word of God day and night. I read my Bible first thing in the morning. And I usually pick out one verse or one thought from my passage. I try to think about it at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. So I will meditate on it day and night. Day and night. I told the young people, there's a blessing for reading the Word of God. There's a blessing for memorizing the Word of God. There's a blessing for meditating the Word of God. You want to live a blessed life? Be in the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Will you read your Bible through this week? A few chapters every day. 4 chapters a day will take you through it once a year. I challenge you to read a Proverbs a day. Read Proverbs 12 times a year. You'll be a much wiser person. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. And this is God's book of wisdom. It's up to us. So we see the communion the blessed man seeks is the light is on the law of the Lord. We should get our information. We should get our inspiration for the Word of God. God wants to speak to us. We were created for the purpose of having fellowship with God. Our way to do that today is through the Bible and through prayer. Did you read your Bible last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? Or did the Bible sit there since last Sunday? I reminded the story about the pastor who unexpectedly knocked on the door of a family's home, and the husband was not there, so the lady was somewhat flustered, and the pastor, of course, did not ask to come in, and he began to talk to her, and the lady said to her little girl, she says, "Sweetheart, go bring Mommy the book that she loves to read." The little girl knew exactly what she meant. She ran in and ran back and gave her mother the TV guide. Parents, your children know if you read the Bible. Let them see you read the Bible. I'm not against the daily bread. I've written for the Baptist bread. But we need more than a verse a day. We need more than a verse a day. So we see, first of all, the companions the blessed man will shun. Secondly, the communion the blessed man will seek. But thirdly, this is most importantly in the longest of the 3 points, the character the blessed man shows. The character the blessed man shows. Can I say this, friends? People are watching you. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You and I are living sermons. You're living sermons. Parents, your children know if you give out gospel tracts. Your pastor might not know. I certainly don't know. But your children know. Your spouse will know. What is our testimony like? Let me share with you 5 simple things as part of this character we show. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me share some things about a tree. A good tree has vitality. It's alive. Now, we have a wood-burning fireplace, and I like burning wood, real wood. It's nice. Sitting there on a cool winter evening with a good book, have the fire going, maybe some classical music or some hymns playing. I enjoy that. But it's the living trees that give us shade. It's living trees that bring forth fruit. I have commanded you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God wants his children to bring forth fruit. Dead trees don't bring forth fruit. In Christ's word, they're good for nothing but to be cut down and cast into the fire. Are we fruit-bearing Christians or firewood Christians? There's a vitality in the blessed man. Secondly, there's a stability. He is rooted. I will not be moved. Pastor Turner, I'm too old to change. I'm going to stick with the same Bible. I'm going to stick with the same songs. I'm going to stick with the same friends. Now, some friends have changed and gone different directions. There's some churches we used to go to, West Coast, we don't go to anymore. They've gone a different direction. Can I challenge you? Be rooted. Don't be pushed about by every wind of doctrine. Amen. A stability of the blessed man. Rooted by the rivers of water. Not only that, we say fertility. It brings forth fruit. My grandmother, grandfather used to live in a place called Banning, California, a little town called Cherry Valley. Right off the 10 freeway and maybe 7 or 8 miles off. And they had about 10 acres of fruit trees. They had Bing cherry trees. They had peach trees. They had plum trees, a couple of pomegranate trees. Man, when they were fresh peaches, when they were so ripe, my dad, you could tell when they're perfectly ripe if you flick them with your finger and they fall in your hand. We'd go up and get those fresh peaches and make homemade peach ice cream. Oh, my. It had no sugar in it. Now, it did have a quart and a half of half and half, a can of Eagle brand milk, and 8 tablespoons of honey, 10 eggs, about a quart and a half of peaches, and it was good. It was good. Man, I'll tell you what. Those trees were awesome. My grandparents passed away, and people stopped watering the trees. I drove by there about 3 years ago. I wanted to see the old homestead. I couldn't believe it. All the trees were gone. They died. People knocked them down. They stop bearing fruit. They're not good for anything. Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Can people see fruit in your life? So we see a fertility. We see the fruit in the character the blessed man shows. And then we also see this. We see a consistency. I think of an oak tree. I was preaching in Mariposa, California, and outside there's a big giant oak tree there. I always look at it. I don't know how old it is, 70, 80 years of age. It's huge, huge, huge tree. It's been there for a long, long time. Will you just be in your place? Can you be counted on? Bobby Robertson, who pastored the same church for over 60 years, said this: the one thing every Christian could do is they could be in their place. I like that. Will you stay in your place? Can you be counted on? I believe that as a believer, if we're a blessed man, we will choose God's will for our life. Happiness is finding God's will and doing it. Brother Turner knew many years ago God was calling him the country of Canada. He's been here for, is it 19 years now, you said? 19 years. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. A faithful man who can find. But I challenge you today, friend. Let's follow God's blueprint. It's very simple. There's some people that we need to shun. There's some communion that we ought to seek. And finally, there's some character that we ought to show. But I'm going to say this. None of that is possible unless we first become part of the family of God. The Bible says that in and of ourselves there dwells no good thing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Salvation is a free gift. It's already been paid for. About a month and a half ago, I got something from Amazon. It was from my daughter, who's a missionary in Thailand. She's in labor right now with her fourth child. This wallet was in there. And I had a wallet I already liked. It was the perfect, it was broken in. I liked it. But then I opened the wallet, Brother Turner, and it says this. It says, I have a hero. I call him Dad. Then it says on the inside, to my dad, thank you for walking by my side today and always. I may have outgrown your lap, but I know I'll never outgrow a place in your heart. I know I don't always say it, but you're the best dad in the world. I decided to use it. I didn't pay for this wallet. I paid for the other wallet. I like the other wallet. But someone bought this for me, my daughter, 33-year-old missionary in Thailand. She bought it, and she sent it to me. All I had to do was accept the wallet. It was already paid for. I could have said, and I really thought when I got it, I don't need a wallet. I like my wallet. Until I read the inside. But I took that wallet, and I received it. And it's mine. I want you to picture this as salvation. It's already been paid for. Jesus paid it all. He says, I want to give you this salvation, and all you have to do is accept it, and it will be yours. He is not willing that any should perish. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life. And if perchance, friend, you do not know for sure you're on your way today, that you would spend eternity in heaven, I challenge you to take that free gift of salvation and make it yours. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. We'll stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and if you're a Christian, I challenge you to pray and talk to the Lord about whatever He challenged your heart about. But if you're a visitor or a regular attender and you don't know you're on your way to heaven, Pastor Turner will be here at the front. The pianist will quietly play. He'll direct a man to a man, a lady to a lady, and in just a few minutes, they can show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. I've taught college for 40 years. I've told college students the second most important decision you make is who you marry. But that's nothing compared to the decision of trusting Christ as your Savior. Because that, my friends, will last forever. I hope my wife could be married for 50 or 60 years, but eternity goes so far beyond that we can't even comprehend it.